Okay, turn with me tonight to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 13. We'll look here tonight as we look at the book of Hebrews. We tried to preach some of the book of Hebrews in the morning service. I found that it was a little bit, in some ways, a little bit complicated book to deal with on a Sunday morning. And so we're going to retry our study of the book of Hebrews. Tonight we are going to start by kind of looking at the central message of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 13. We'll look at the verse. We'll look beginning with verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Of course, the Jewish people were very much concerned about meat. The Jewish people, of course, had a list of meats that they didn't eat and a list of meats that they were able to eat. And what he is saying is that there was something that, that he was basically saying. They missed the point. They missed the point. And, of course, New Testament tells us the picture of the meats, and the unclean and the clean referred to a picture of the Jewish people and the Gentiles. And now in this age, both Jew and Gentile are on equal footing before God through Jesus Christ. It says, verse 10, we have an altar whereof they, that's the Jewish people, have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, that is the earthly temple. Verse 10, it's talking about an altar in heaven. It says, verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go, therefore, go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And here we have a very summary verse here. Let us go, therefore, unto him, that's Christ, outside or without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, in the Old Testament, you think of the people marching through the wilderness. Certain people weren't able to live in the camp. Those who contracted diseases like leprosy or such were not allowed to live in the camp. They had to go outside the camp and live outside the camp. There was a stigma that went with that. That stigma that was carried with that disease, leprosy or an issue of blood or such thing. And there was a visible picture of this group of people who were outside the camp. Now, the Bible tells us about certain sacrifices, offerings that were made in the Old Testament. And in these offerings, these animals these offerings had to be taken outside of the camp. Let's look at Leviticus chapter number 4. And, of course, the picture here, and we're looking at the picture, Jesus was taken outside of the city to be crucified. He was led up the hill of Calvary outside of the city to be crucified. And, of course, it was a picture of the sin offering and the that had to be made for the people. Leviticus chapter 4, let's look at some of these verses and about some of these offerings. Okay. Verse number 2, chapter number 4. Speak unto the children of Israel, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock, bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall so pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the 2 kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul, which is above the liver, with the kidneys he shall take away, as it was taken off the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar of burnt offering, and the skin of the bullock, and all his flesh, with his head, and with his legs, and his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. Now, this is one of the Old Testament sacrifices. And notice as we start looking at this, it says, if a soul shall sin through ignorance, any sin, any of the commandments of the Lord. People ask the question, if I do something wrong and I don't know it's wrong, is it sin? The answer is, yes, it's still sin. And the people in the Old Testament, if they did something that it says unwittingly, unknowingly, and it was wrong, and when they found out that they had done wrong, now they had to come before the Lord with a sin offering. And it would be good for us to for you to check that out. It's a good exposition that sin is still sin, even if you don't know it's sin, and sin breaks fellowship with God. And so they take this bullock, and they're supposed to shed the blood of this innocent animal. And it's a bullock. It's very costly. Very costly. And of course, we recognize that the offering for the priest was much more significant than the offering for the layperson. Because the priest was supposed to know what was right and wrong. And they are a spiritual leader of the people. And therefore, the offering that they had to bring was much more costly than an average person. They would be able to bring something of lesser value, and you can read the rest of the chapter and find that out. And of course, they're to take the blood of this innocent animal and they're put it before the altar. And of course, that altar represented the holy presence of God. And that there was a price to pay for sin. And of course, it represents Jesus Christ, whose blood had to be brought before a holy God as the payment of our sin. Now, the point that we are looking at tonight, it says in verse 12, even the whole bullock shall be carried forth without the camp. Without the camp. They had to take the animal outside of the camp. Why? Because the animal was bearing our sin. And now this sinless animal became a sinful animal. Just like Jesus, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 21. The Bible says, for he, that's speaking of God, hath made him, that's Christ, for he hath made him to be sin. To be sin for us who knew no sin. And so when Jesus hung on the cross, there was darkness on the face of the earth for 3 hours, from noon to 3 o'clock. And Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because God the Father put our sins on the body of Jesus Christ. Placed our sin on Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he became sin for us. He became sin for us. And so the sinless Son of God bore our sin. Now this is represented here in the Old Testament in these sacrifices that were instituted 1400 years before Christ. And this was the sin offering. A bullock without blemish, expensive animal, was have his blood shed, and his blood was to be brought before the altar, speaking of the holy presence of God. And the animal itself was to be taken outside of the camp. Yep, that's where the lepers went. That's where those who had an issue of blood went. That's where those who had a contagious disease went. That's where those who were defiled went. They couldn't stay among the people because they were defiled. They had to go outside the camp. And when you would think about outside of the camp, what's the first thing you would have thought of if you're a young person? Ooh, I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there. Outside the camp, that's where the sick are. That's where the defiled are. And until they're healed of that contagious disease, they had to stay there. And of course, this bullock, who was the offering for sin, had to be taken. The Bible says, the whole bullock shall be carried forth without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn them on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he burn. And of course, this is a picture of the total consuming of this animal as the payment of our sin. And Jesus Christ had to give himself completely for us on Calvary's cross. Now, there are many places in the Old Testament to talk about outside the camp and how that this is a place of stigma. And this is... something that you would want to avoid. And a number of verses, go look in your concordance, look up the phrase, without the camp. And Jesus was taken outside of the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus was crucified. A death of the most notorious and the worst of sinners. But he was innocent. He was innocent of sin. But in God's plan, he was our sin offering. Now, context. The Jewish believers, the early Christians, were all Jewish, almost all Jewish. The first New Testament book written was the book of James. It was written to Jewish believers. And the churches, the first churches were all in Judea and Samaria, and the vast majority of all of them were Jews or Gentile proselytes who became Jews. But the first persecution was by Jews as well. Stephen was put to death by the Jewish people. And there was a great persecution. And so Jewish people who believed the Bible and believed on the Jewish Messiah were facing great persecution by Jewish people. And they were thinking, why should I undergo this persecution? You know, Jews believe in God. Why don't I just go back to worshiping God in the Old Testament way and forget about worshiping Him in the New Testament way? And I can still worship God and not have to be persecuted. Not have to be, spit upon. Not have to be mocked. Not have to be rejected. Not have to be made fun of my Jewish relatives and my friends and my family. And so, the book of Hebrews was written to show that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament types, that Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament worship system, and that the Old Testament worship system now was bankrupt because the fulfillment, the picture, the real picture of those things that it foreshadowed had come. But with Christ came persecution. And so the conclusion of the book is verse 13 of Hebrews, chapter 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. From the Jewish standpoint, it said, let us go with him. Jesus was rejected by the Jews. He was rejected by the religious leaders. And let's go outside the camp with him in his crucifixion, in his rejection. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. Now, in the New Testament, we have, from the Christian standpoint, we would say it differently. We would say it differently. How would how would we say it that is a little bit differently? Luke 14, 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Same thing. But from a Jewish standpoint, it's going outside the camp. That's where Jesus was crucified. That's where they walked by and they laughed, they mocked, the soldiers spit upon him, and the religious rulers reviled him. That was outside the camp, outside the city Jesus was crucified. From a Christian standpoint, from a New Testament standpoint, from our standpoint is bear the cross. What does the cross represent? Yep, the cross represents reproach. You know who they was crucified on the cross? The worst of sinners. They were crucified naked, totally shameful. They died on the cross. And it's really the same issue. Let us not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Isn't that the issue yet today? Let us not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Let us not be ashamed of what He did. Let us not be ashamed of who He is. I don't remember who was telling me this story just very, very recently. And I don't know exactly who was telling the story, but it went something like this. A Christian young fellow was carrying his Bible to school. And the football coach said, "We won't have any sissies on this team," speaking of him. And the young man said to the coach, "If that's what you think, let's see you carry the Bible around." He didn't say it exactly like that, but he said it with that emphasis. And the coach got the point. Because to follow Jesus Christ is to identify with Him, with His rejection, with His reproach, with the self-denial, with the mocking of the world. And remember the mocking of Jesus Christ. The most of it was not Pilate and the soldiers. The most of it was by who? The religious crowd, wasn't it? The religious crowd. And so that's really the summary of the book of Hebrews, one verse. Let us go outside the camp bearing His reproach. And saying to the Jewish people, yes, He is really who He is. He's the fulfillment of all the Old Testament types and the prophets. And let's not be ashamed of Him, because He is the Son of God who died for our sin, and without Him, there is no remission of sin. And to reject him would be to reject the only one who has died for your sin. To reject him, to turn from him, there would be no more. There would not be another one who would come and die for your sin, because he is the only one. Well, that's the central message of the book of Hebrews. And, you know, the message is still true for today, isn't it? And everybody that knows Jesus Christ has to face this question. Will we bear the reproach of Christ? Will we bear the reproach of Christ? Or will we be ashamed of him? But you know what? When you're born again, what are you supposed to do? Be unborn again? You can't. You can't be unborn again. How can you decide that you aren't going to be born again when you've had this miraculous birth in your life and you'll never be the same? You can't just stand up and walk away from it. And really, we have that same message in the book of Hebrews. Let's go outside the camp where Jesus is. Let's not be ashamed of him. Let's not worry about what the crowd says. Remember, the sin offering was taken outside the camp. And that's a great principle, great truth of the Bible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight and for a very simple, simple truth in God's word that is so important for us, not to be ashamed of the Lord, to decide to go outside the camp, to identify with the sin offering, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his reproach, and not be ashamed. And Lord, may it be so. As we think of the words of other people, let us not be ashamed of you. As we think of the mocking of many, let us not be ashamed of you. As we think of a world that mocks God and the Bible and truth, let us not be ashamed of you, Lord. For, Lord, you are the one who died for our sins. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed, perhaps even tonight.